And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And got some very fascinating things for you today, very interesting. And we're going to go right into them because I want to cover as much as I can today. This is a volume of secrets, and Jerry, our broadcast engineer, has the number. How many of these have we done? We're up to, this is 193 today. Yeah, we usually do one of these programs a month. This is a volume 193. So if you want to order this, be sure to write that down and ask for volume 193. And of course, this is being broadcast. Let's see, what month are we in? I tell you, everything's been going so fast for me. I've lost track of months and years. Oh, man, alive. It's like Alzheimer's, it's not good, you know, but you meet a lot of new friends. Well, I think I've meeting a lot of new friends lately, boy. I'll tell you. Well, anyways, 193, and we're in the month of September, and it is 2012. And this is the year the world's going to end, Jerry. Are you ready? Yeah, okay, Jerry's ready, all right. Hey, if you have Jesus in your heart, you're ready, no matter when it is. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we can know the season. And you feel a just, you know, itchiness, imminency. It's, you know, things are getting hot out there. And I just feel like, I don't know what I would call it, but it's like the quickening, I think is the word I used one time. Everything is going faster, escalating, accelerating than it ever has before. We're inundated with incredible news every day. Things that are not supposed to happen are happening. Bad things and a few good things as well. Hey, here's something that is not good. It's not good, but it is a sign of the times, is it not? A hotel has replaced the Bible in its rooms now. You know, a lot of hotels put the Bible, have it in the desk drawer. And by the way, the Gideons is a Bible organization, a Christian group, that free of charge places Bibles in hotel rooms. And sometimes they just put them, you know, very unobtrusively away in the little drawer, you know, by the you know, where the lamp is, the lamp table next to the bed. And I am sure the Gideons, this organization, would tell you that they have hundreds, maybe thousands, over the decades, of witnesses, people who said, I went to that motel or hotel determined to kill myself. And there I was in all my misery, and there was your Bible. See, the Gideons placed their seal and their address and everything just inside the Bible. It's meant the difference to so many people. I'm sure people have gone there to have affairs and read the Bible and were convicted over what they were doing, the sins that they were committing, the harm they were doing to their husband or wife. I'm positive that great good has been done by Bibles being left in hotel rooms. And most hotels, until recently, have gone along with this. And I've just been amazed. It must be God's work that few hotels have rejected. Well, they're beginning to now. I've heard of several different hotel chains that have taken out the Bible. And they're saying that people are offended by the Bible being in the room. I'm sure the atheists and the maybe the Muslims and even the Jews, yeah, the groups like ADL and all, they're offended by the word of God. That's all that is. And maybe they're the kind of people, you know, the American Atheist Foundation and so forth, the ACLU, they'd be like the kind of group that hates the Bible being so easily available. Well, let me just, you may have heard about this particular story, but sort of makes you sick when you think about it. The headline here says, hotel replaces Bible with pornography. It states, Bibles in nightstands are a familiar amenity for hotel guests, but travelers seeking to read their favorite verse at one hotel establishment will be in for a big surprise. The Damson Dean Hotel, which touts itself as the perfect destination for a peaceful, that is, break away from it all, in England, is making quite a noise for replacing the Bible with the novel 50 Shades of Grey. Now, 50 Shades of Grey, as I understand it, is a sex and pornography novel. They call it steamy. And author E.L. James, a woman, has become a big international celebrity because of the graphic sex scenes that are portrayed by the main characters in this book. They engage in bondage, domination, sadomasochism, and other so-called sexual exploits. Well, the owner of this hotel, Mr. Jonathan Denby, said he's been pondering for a long time what to do about the Bibles, the Gideon Bibles that have been placed in the rooms by the previous proprietor of the hotel. The previous owner, he said, was a church man, a Methodist. Mr. Denby said, I didn't want the Bibles anymore, and I was trying to figure out what to do, and then I decided in a modern secular society, it was wholly inappropriate, he says, to keep a religious book in people's private bedrooms. So I began to search for a replacement. Now, Mr. Denby says, I was thinking originally of putting in a book by Ayn Rand entitled Atlas Shrugged, but I finally came up with 50 Shades of Grey. You know, of course, Ayn Rand, I'm sure I'm going to get many letters by telling you this, but she was just a pagan devil. She was an atheist herself who put money before everything and her lust for sexual pleasures. She was a very hideous woman, a Zionist fanatic. That's right, Ayn Rand, the same one that Alan Greenspan was a big devotee of, a fan of. Congressman Paul Ryan thinks she's just okie dokie. Of course, she's gone on to be with her Lord and Savior. That would be Satan. Yes, it would be. And he's really not a Lord and Savior, but he lies a lot to people. You know, there are a lot of people in the churches of Satan around this world, and they do exist, that actually believe they're going to get rewarded when they die and go on to be with their master, Satan. He's deceived them so much that they think they're going to have a special place. They'll be a celebrated customer down in hell. Oh, my. What they don't know awaits them. Anyway, I suspect that Mr. Jonathan Denby will find out someday what he did wrong by putting this pornographic book in his hotel rooms and replacing the Bible. Pretty tragic, isn't it? Hey, something else tragic, but I put this in the category of I told you so. Not because I want to be a big smart aleck and say I told you so, but I did tell you so. Romney, I told you he was pro-gay. He's pretending now not to be. The guy will do anything for a vote. And he's just as pro-gay, pro-homosexual, as is Barack Obama. When you vote for Obama, you're getting Romney. When you vote for Romney, you're getting Obama. A lot of people say to me, Tex, should we just vote for the lesser of two evils? Oh, golly. I hate to say yes to something like that. I think you're better off having a write-in candidate. You know, choose somebody that you admire and write their name in. I think you're wasting it if you vote for one of the two main candidates. They're really not a lesser evil. It's like voting for Satan or his sidekick, Beelzebub. Which one can do the most damage? And sometimes you're wrong about that. We know that George W. Bush did great damage to America and to freedom and to Christianity, and so has Barack Obama. Hasn't really mattered much, has it? George Romney was a liberal. That was the father of Mitt Romney. And now he ran for president, you know, and now Mitt Romney, another liberal. Well, you may have seen the headlines recently that Romney backs gays and Boy Scouts. Let me read it to you from Newsmax.com. It says, when it comes to gays and the Boy Scouts, both Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama say they believe that gay youth and counselors should have the right to openly belong to and work in the Boy Scouts youth organization. Romney spokeswoman Andrea Saul confirmed that, in fact, this was Romney's position. Romney is on record as saying, quote, I support the fact that all people should be able to participate in the Boy Scouts, regardless of their sexual orientation. And in a video of a 1994 speech by Romney, released by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, or GLAAD, Romney, who is a former national board member of the Boy Scouts of America, basically said it doesn't matter if a person's gay or not. Sexual orientation should not be a factor in participating in scouting. Oh, my. Oh, my. Do you want your son, your grandson, your little brother to join an organization and be appointed a leader over him who is a pedophile gay man? Is that what you want, dear friends? Is Romney right? Does it matter whether a flaming homosexual is in charge of your little boy during overnight camping trips where he'll be alone with a little tyke? Are you happy with that? Mitt Romney is. Barack Obama says it doesn't matter. By the way, Romney, as I told you, he is a big kiss up to Israel. He'll do whatever the Jews tell him to do. And the Jewish billionaires are running the show now with Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. Now, they're unhappy with Barack Obama. He hasn't been able to sweep America into the socialist paradise, the communist paradise that they expected. They call him the amateur, the unprofessional. Newsweek had an interesting cover this week. Barack Obama. Now, he's been on the cover of Newsweek. Seems like about every other week they put Barack Obama's picture. They're a big fan of his. But this week, things changed. We're in the midst of the political campaign, and all the Jewish media have decided to abandon Barack Obama, and they're all endorsing Mitt Romney. Now, you need to get my CD audio or audio tape report, where I talk about Mitt Romney and Barack Obama as being the evil twins of Israel. They're both Zionist freaks. They are. Well, Newsweek, which is certainly a liberal, pro-democratic party, pro-socialist, group, the publishers of Newsweek, in its August 27th edition, has a picture of Obama on the cover, and the headline there on the front cover says, Hit the road, Barack. Why we need a new president. Hit the road, Barack. Who would have ever thought that Newsweek, of all things, Newsweek would say, Hit the road, Barack. Meanwhile, Newt Gingrich's manager financier, remember the guy, the Las Vegas Sands casino mogul, Stuart Adelson? He gave hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions, to the Newt Gingrich campaign. Well, now he's given millions of dollars to Mitt Romney. Now, he says he'll give more, but I understand they had a little secret meeting, a little teat-a-teat. And Mr. Adelson, this Zionist fanatic Jew, told Romney, I will give you, millions for your campaign, but I want you to do something for Israel. I want you to publicly proclaim that as president, you will pardon. Yes, you will give a presidential pardon to Jonathan Pollard, the Israeli spy, who is now sitting in a federal penitentiary here in the United States. Well, I do not know what Romney's answer was. What I know is that Jewish billionaires' money is flowing like water into the Mitt Romney campaign. Now, I want you to think about this. Why would Mr. Adelson care about Jonathan Pollard? Jonathan Pollard is the guy who betrayed America. He was a Galveston, Texas-born Jew who betrayed our America, became a spy for Israel, and thousands of secret documents that he filched, that in other words stole from the Pentagon, ended up in the hands of the communist Chinese, the Red Chinese, who used this material to capture some of America's most precious military secrets. Jonathan Pollard was a Mossad Israel spy who put tens of millions of Americans in jeopardy. That's how vital the information was. Now, let me tell you about the conduit. I've mentioned this before on my show. Jonathan Pollard got a job and worked his way up in the Pentagon. He never made it to the big time, but he was up high enough that he could go in and steal these documents from files. Then he would bring them home with him, hide them in his clothing, and make copies of them. And then he would give to his Israeli spy friends, the Mossad, working out of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. They, in turn, would send them to Israel, and Israel would sell them for millions, who knows how many, maybe billions of dollars to the communist Red Chinese. Isn't that nice? The Israelis, America's greatest allies, the ones we've given over $1 trillion to over the years, stealing our secrets through an American Jew. I call them part of the Sionim, traitorous Judas-like Jews. And the nation of Israel wants to show how powerful it is. So they say, we will not allow a Jew who's a spy for us to languish, to sit in a prison cell anywhere in the world. We will do what's necessary to get them free. And by the way, they almost had George W. Bush and before him, Bill Clinton, persuaded to give a presidential pardon to Jonathan Pollard. But political events occurred and they were unable to do so. You see, there are factions in America today. Former FBI agents, former CIA deputies in chiefs, former military generals, and they're working behind the scenes for American freedom. You may not think so, dear friends. Somebody wrote to me and said, I think you and Alex Jones are the only two working for American freedom. No, no, you're wrong. There are retired military officers and active duty military officers, and they are good patriotic people. And they are not going to allow some things to happen. They fight behind the scenes. I remember Admiral Bobby Inman, and he threatened Bill Clinton and said, and George Bush too, as I understand it, and said, if you let this scum, this Israeli spy scum, Jonathan Pollard, out of prison and give him a pardon, me and my friends will expose you for what you are. You will be a traitor to America yourself. So they're not going to allow this to happen. Believe me. And I think if Obama or Mitt Romney try to sell out America to Israel, you wait and see. I'm afraid there might even be a military coup d'etat. I'm afraid there something bad like that may happen. I don't want it to happen. I'm not a participant in anything like that, I can tell you that. But I just have this feeling it would be very, very bad for that to happen. But these people are getting sick and tired of the Obamas and the Clintons and the Bushes selling our country to the highest bidders, which usually is the red Chinese butchers or the Israeli Mossad monsters. Well, Jonathan Pollard has been promised that if Israel can get him out of prison, he'll be a national hero in Israel. For betraying America, he will be made a hit. Friends, they'll have parades for him in Israel. Already, I'm sure his wife is being handsomely rewarded. It's my opinion. If I did some investigation, I bet I'd find that out. I understand they even named a school and have named roads and streets after Jonathan Pollard. He betrayed America, and they say he's a hero. How can that be, folks? You have to understand the mentality of the Israeli politicians and people. That is a communist, socialist country and has been since 1948, its founding. They were thrilled to give America's most secret documents to the communist Chinese, whom they are in ideological agreement with. Friends, a lot of folks don't know these kind of things. I want you to know. Well, Romney went over to Israel, as I told you he would before the election. He went over there, and boy, he came out swinging for Israel. Here's something that he said I think is interesting. He said, Israel is a prosperous nation today. This was Mitt Romney now. Because of the hand of providence has made it a rich nation. I was sitting in my family room watching television when I heard this idiot, Mitt Romney, say the hand of providence has made Israel a rich nation today. And he went on to say that the Palestinians, on the other hand, are poor, desperately poor, because God's not with them. Say what? Folks, most of the Palestinians are Muslim, but a great percentage of them are Christians. And they're being smashed and torn apart by the Jews who believe in Judaism and all of its satanic practices. Now, why is Israel a rich nation today? Well, they've been given hundreds of billions of bucks by America. Our government every year hands out 5 million, 10 million, 30 million, 40 million, most recently, to the Israelis. We have made them a rich nation. How does their military stay in power? How are they able to have one of the most effective, supposed, not effective really, but largest military forces in the world? A little nation of 7.5 million population, about one third as much as the population of the mere state of Texas in the United States. How are they able to afford military forces like they have? I'll tell you, we pay for them, you and me. It's not the hand of providence. It's the hand or handout that American taxpayers give them. They're always the Jews, AIPAC, ADL, all these Jewish organizations are all the time whining and moaning and asking, give us more money. We need more billions. Give us money, America. I cannot tell you how many Christian churches have taken up offerings for the Israeli people. I ask a Christian friend of mine, his church takes up an offering once a month and sends to Israel. I say, who do you send it to? They say, the Israeli government. You send an offering by Christians to the Israeli government? Then I ask him a question. I asked my friend, because he seemed to approve of this. I said, have you ever visited Israel? He said, yes, I went one time. Oh, it was such a blessing. Where did they take you? And he told me, you know, the city of Jerusalem and the Bethlehem and blah, blah, blah. Did they take you out to the beaches on the Mediterranean? Where the women in their string bikinis were out there showing their back ends off? And the men were wearing Speedos? That's a little bitty bikini-like thing for men. No, he said. Oh, really? The tour guide didn't take you there? Did they take you to all the nightclubs and brothels, whorehouses that are in Tel Aviv and all these other cities, Haifa and all the other cities in Israel? Well, no. Oh, they just took you to the old city. Sort of like going to Rome and seeing the Colosseum in the old sector of Rome, but not knowing that there are, and the list is, over 1,000 satanic and witchcraft covens in the city of Rome, Italy. You don't know about that, do you? So just send your money over to Italy for the Romans. You'll see where it goes. You'll see where it ends up. Some of it will probably end in the coffers, the bank accounts of the Pope and his scarlet robe cardinals. Folks, listen to me. Did you know that they have something sort of akin to Obamacare in Israel? Free medical care. And every hospital in Israel performs abortions paid for by the government. So I asked my friend, did you know some of your money will go for abortions? No. Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah, good pal. You don't know what you're doing. You're ignorant of the facts that the government has subsidized health care, communist health care over there. And there are more abortions. There's only one nation on this planet that has more abortions than Israel, and that would be Japan. That's a pagan nation itself. The hand of providence, my eye. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and 24, he said, the house of Israel is left desolate until the Son of Man returns. That's a desolate nation, abomination to God. Jesus said it's left desolate. Read your Webster's dictionary. The word desolate means devoid of value, no spiritual worth at all. In fact, Revelation 11 says that Jerusalem in the last days will be called spiritually Sodom and Egypt. I want to explain something to you. There are two religions today where the clergy is primarily, that's right, primarily pedophile homosexuals. One of them is Judaism. And that's right. I believe from my research that a good many, if not the most, of the rabbis today are homosexuals. At the same time, Catholic priests are predominantly homosexual. Give money to the Catholic Church means you love the homosexuals and what they're doing to little boys and to others. You give money to the Jews and to Judaism, you're giving money to a satanic religion, as I prove in my book, Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. And most Catholic priests undeniably are homosexual perverts. And by the way, what few nuns are left in the world, not many nuns are left, are lesbians. That is just the truth. Pagan lesbians. Well, we got a lot more secrets to tell you on this other side. Things, obviously, as you can see, the control mainstream media don't want you to know about, not going to tell you about. How about this? Israeli soldier murdered a mother and daughter and were punished with 45 days sentence. Murder two people in Israel. And if they're Palestinians, your sentence comes to 45 days for murdering a mother and her daughter. I'm going to tell you about that and much more when we return. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is a volume of secrets and the radio show. Well, we're on Power of Prophecy. We'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. Boy, if you don't have my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, really, you're losing out on some valuable information. These are the last days. Incredible events are occurring. Chaos, turmoil lies ahead. And, friends, you need to know who's doing this stuff. Who's behind it? And why it seems that America has lost is freedoms and liberties, and we're unable to regain them. Who's doing these things to us, and why? I believe the answers can be found in Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, I want you to have your own copy of this incredible book. You'll learn everything there is to know of importance about Israel, Zionism, the Jews, Judaism, and yes, even the Rothschild dynasty, all in one gigantic volume. It's 432 pages, but they're huge pages. It's an encyclopedic book. Now, we're only asking $25 for this book, and please include $5 shipping and handling. As for the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I know it will be a blessing to you, and the things that you will discover in that book are just mind-boggling. I'm just thankful to Lord Jesus for giving me so much information, for inspiring me to write this book, and to give it the title, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, because the book actually explains the true occult meaning of that premier Israeli symbol that's on the flag, the national flag of Israel, the Six-Pointed Star, the misnamed Star of David. Some call it Solomon's Seal, with reason, and I think you'll find out the reason in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, $25, add $5 shipping and handling, a total of just $30, and I believe this will be one of the most fabulous books that you've ever read in your life. And I know as I was writing this book over the months, God just kept pouring me with information. And God, it would seem like some days he would say, go to this website, go to this book, read this article, call this friend. He has information for you. It's amazing how God just guided my brain, guided my hands, and I give God such credit. You know, some people say, Tex, how can you write such fabulous, such dynamic books? Well, I like to say that it's because of the inspiration of God. By myself, no, I couldn't do it. I could not, you know, stand the strain, the stress of the great pressures that are put upon me every day. If any of you were to come here and work for just a few weeks, you would see the pressures that we have on us here at Power Prophecy. But you know what? We just keep on going. We keep on going because we love God, we love his work, and we want to pull as many as we can out of the fire. And I'll tell you, some people are right there on the verge of being destroyed, right on the eve of destruction. We're able to reach down and grab them out. How many letters we get each week, each month, each year from people saying, thank you, Tex. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you for that book. Thank you for that video documentary. God bless you, Tex Mars, for your recent radio programs. We get that all the time, and I don't take any of that lightly. I appreciate that, and I thank the Lord Jesus for it. I want you to know when you ask us for prayer, your prayer needs, I will personally pray for you. Wanda can tell you, my sweet wife, she can tell you how many times we have sat at our kitchen table and prayed for you. And not a day goes by. I can't think of a day. Maybe I don't want to say we've prayed every day, but I can't think of a day when we did not pray specifically for the needs of the folks who are our friends who write to us, send emails or letters, and let us know of your situation. We love to pray for folks. You know, it's not a burden. Some people have written me and saying, I hate to burden you with my problems. Friends, come on now. Burden away. I like that. I'd like to be burdened. I want you to know that you have a friend in Christ Jesus, and you have a friend in Tex and Wanda Mars. In fact, all of our staff. If you want us all to pray for you, just say, Tex, ask your entire staff, and we'll pass that around here. and we'll all pray for you. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you a little secret. God listens to my prayers. Now, some people say, well, you're a real egotist if you think God listens to just your prayers. Oh, wait, I didn't say just. No, I would never say just. Because you see, I'm going to ask you to do something for me today. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. And I believe that God will hear your prayers. Is it because we're so important? Is it because, you know, we're doing such a great work and God couldn't exist without us? Well, no, that's silly. That's silly. If Tex Mars leaves the world 5 minutes from now, I promise you God could raise up 100 greater than me. I don't have any difficulty in believing that. None of us are indispensable. But even then, isn't it interesting how God loves us anyway? I admit, I mean, I can be done away with. And the world probably won't even remember 20 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe next month, who Tex Mars was and is. But I know this much. I know that God has promised me eternal life with him. And he promises it to you too. So I want to see you in heaven. I'm looking forward to being in heaven and all my friends come around, meet me. I don't know how we'll meet. I don't think there are going to be any real street corners there, but there might be. But I don't know if there'll be a, what do you call that, Jerry, like a phone book of addresses? Directory, you know, like Yellow Pages or whatever. Maybe they have iPhones up there and you go, see, let's see if Tex Mars is up here. Well, I'm going to be up there. I'm going to be up there because Jesus promised it. Not because I'm without sin, but because he forgave me. He's forgiven me of my grievous sins. And I'm so thankful to him for that. So that's right. I'll be there. And look me up when you get to heaven, would you? I'll be up there and come by and visit me. Have the equivalent, the heavenly equivalent of a cup of coffee or I don't know. I bet there's going to be a lot of things a lot better than coffee. Don't you? Oh, yes, indeed. And Coca-Cola, I don't think that stuff's even good for you. So I don't think God's going to serve that. Do you, Jerry? Jerry says, no, they're not going to do that. No, there'll probably be some wonderful things up there. It's going to be lovely. Okay, we're going to return now to our volume of secrets. Of course, you need to know our phone number and address if you're going to order this book. And to order the book, Conspiracy of the Six Point Star, a total of $30, excuse me, postpaid. Write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or just textmars.com. And please spell it right, TexMarrs. I don't know why they spell it like that, but they do. The midwife, my mother, they conspired together against me. No, they didn't do that. But they did spell my name, TEXE. Okay. Hey, by the way, a lot of people ask me my middle name, Jerry. I have two middle names. I'm double good. One of them is Elisha. Now, it's interesting I have two double names. Did you know that Elisha was given a double portion of prophecy? He was double the prophet anybody else was. Think about that. Elisha, read this in your Bible, was given a double portion of prophetic power by God. Wow. Well, unfortunately for me, I just have his name. I don't have the prophetic power that he had. But can you imagine? Yeah, that's one of my names. In fact, I'm going to tell you, folks, keep it a secret now. Tex William Elisha Mars. By the way, the word William means I am the will of God. I am the will of God. Will I am. And Elisha, of course, is the prophet. My mother said to me not so long ago, she said, have you ever wondered about your name, middle name being Elisha, having a prophetic name? And I didn't know back then, she said, you had a worldwide ministry effort called Power of Prophecy. I said, well, Mom, there's a lot of things that God knows we don't know. He knows them all in advance, and perhaps he inspired you to name me that. She said, well, I did name you that because of the Elisha of the Bible. And I was so impressed. I wanted God to be in your life. Well, it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. Okay. Powerofprophecy.com. You can order the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and a whole lot more. And getting out, you can even get our most recent newsletter there. Our phone number, of course, to order the book during the week, Monday through Friday, Central Time, 8 o'clock to 5:30, is 1-800. That's toll free. 234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You know, Jerry, I've given out that phone number hundreds of times. I mean, how many years? I don't know. 2 decades we've had the same phone number or more. And last time I was on the air, I almost forgot it. I was trying to... I wonder if anybody else has had that problem. You have? Yeah, you know, I mean, here's your own phone number. I use that phone number more than I do my personal number at home. And, you know, I just couldn't get access to it in my brain. I guess God didn't give me twice the memory power. Even some people. Okay, let's return to the program now. I was telling you about this Israeli Defense Force soldier. Several years ago, during what they call Operation Cast Lead, you get the title of that, Cast Lead, Israel invaded many Palestinian towns and villages and killed people at random. Well, it got reported in a number of international press sources. Not in America. America, all this is covered up. But one of the things that occurred was this soldier who had murdered a mother and her daughter. You see, what a lot of the IDF people were doing was they were shelling these cities and towns. And in this case, a mother and her little girl came out of some ruins and they were carrying a white flag and waving it, which is an international symbol of surrender. Well, the Israeli soldiers don't care about that. They're murderers. They're monsters. And sure enough, a soldier killed a mother and her daughter who waved a white flag during the Cast Lead operation in Gaza in Palestine. Well, there was so much flack about it, and it was even put in a United Nations report. This was one of the most grievous incidents because it was apparent, and it was on video. It was caught on video with hundreds of witnesses, this soldier seeing through his gun scope there. It was a white flag, nevertheless shot and killed him. Well, he's been convicted now by an Israeli court. But guess what? You know what the punishment is? 45 days. 45 days in jail. This is disgusting. The lives of a mother and her daughter are worth only 45 days in jail. And I'll bet you the truth about it is this soldier doesn't spend 1 minute behind bars. This is just for universal consumption. It just makes me absolutely sick. By the way, did I read this in the New York Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Houston Chronicle, the Dallas Morning News, the Austin American Statesman? Did I read this in the Tampa newspapers, the Biloxi, Mississippi newspapers? Of course not. They never report the crimes, the murders committed by the Israelis against the Palestinians. I read this in the Haaretz, the Israeli newspapers. They all know what they're doing, and they laugh up their sleeves. Well, we go from the Judaic murders to the Islamicist. From the island of Mali, it seems that Muslims have control of a town in northern Mali. And a couple were accused of having children outside of marriage. In other words, I guess they were shacking up, we would call it in America. Although they don't really call it shacking up in America. It's living together, right? You know, it's okay to do now. I understand even pastors don't condemn anybody for it. They don't even counsel a couple that are living together. But get this. This particular couple were punished by the Muslims by being stoned to death. The bearded Islamicist brought the couple into the center of the town in Mali. They were forced into holes about 4 feet deep with only their heads protruding. And then they were stoned to death at exactly 5 a.m. on a Sunday. Stoned until they were dead. Could not move their body. Only their heads were out of the dirt. You know, this makes me want to cry. You say, but Tex, they were committing adultery. Tex, it was a just punishment. Yeah, well, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. That's what Jesus said to the Jews who sought to stone to death a young woman caught in adultery. I don't approve. I don't condone sinful behavior. But I want to tell you the difference between Christianity and many in the Muslim faith, and certainly in the Judaic faith. In Christianity, the pure and undefiled faith of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. And judgment, quite often, is left to the Lord. Now, we do judge. It would have been perfectly appropriate in a Christian church for this young couple to be counseled. Even to be told that, you know, they would have to leave the church if they did not do what was right in God's eyes. That's all acceptable. But this stoning to death. I wonder how many of the Muslims that had stoned them to death. I wonder how many of those Muslim men had had affairs with women outside of marriage. Think about that. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone, said Jesus. Now, I want you to remember something else, though. All the men being convicted of their sins when Jesus said that laid down the stones and walked away. And then Jesus said to the young woman, who is left to condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. He said, then go your way and sin no more. He didn't say go your way and continue committing adultery. She had been spared. She had been given a chance for life, an opportunity to serve God. And I don't know what the end of the story was, but I suspect that she became one of Jesus' chief disciples. I can't say that. Maybe I'm adding to the Bible. But when you've had a wrenching experience like that with Jesus Christ in person, and you've been saved from a horrible death by the Son of God, that would have to have an everlasting effect on you, would it not? Well, let me tell you something that really bothers me today. It's called hospice. Hospice. Now, I'm very familiar with hospice. They're the people, you know, that if a person has cancer or some terminal disease, you can take them to a hospice center with your doctor's permission, and they'll sort of help them until they die. And it seems like these people must be wonderful Christian people, but in my experience, I found they're not good Christian people. And some of them simply want to help people to die quicker. It's a scary thing. I received some information on this, a CD report called The Hospice Holocaust by Pastor Joey Faust. That's F-A-U-S-T. And you might be able to locate information about the Pastor Faust at kingdombaptist.org. That's kingdombaptist.org. He has a CD entitled The Hospice Holocaust. Now, my good friend, Brother Matt, and you know who you are, Matt, who publishes Tribulation Watch newsletter, sent me this CD. And he says, Tex, enclosed is an unbelievable eye-opening sermon preached by Joey Faust, an independent Baptist pastor from Texas. Pastor Faust recently witnessed his aunt be medically killed by a hospice morphine overdose. And now he wants to expose what they did. He said it's akin to what the Nazis did, and certainly the communists And I don't have a good feeling in my heart about this hospice organization, friends. And believe me, I wonder about that. Hospice. I think there might even be some Satanists that have enlisted in that and want to see people die. I remember Dr. Kevorkian, Jack Kevorkian. He said he was almost euphoric in watching people die. Goodness. Goodness. You know, in the Old Testament, we read God's words. All they who hate me love death. Folks, we're all going to go someday. You're going to die unless we're here when God raptures us up. And yes, I do believe in the rapture of the saints. That's not going to be the way a lot of pastors preach it today. And you can get my audio tape, by the way, or CD entitled The Rapture Controversy. But certainly we will be caught up in the air and we will be with the Lord forever. Now, I don't believe there's going to be a Jewish run kingdom on earth and all that kind of malarkey. That's nonsense. Because in Galatians 3:29, it says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Israel of God is a spiritual Israel made up of all those who are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Whatever your race, whatever your national origins, they call it, God knows how to erase all those things. You're born again. You're not a German. You're not an American. You're not a Brazilian. You're not an Englishman. You're a Jesus person. You're born again. You're a whole new species. Don't you know that? You're a new creature. Oh, yes. Hey, now, Matt also sent me something else. It was from a church in Texas. And the pastor and the people there had, well, they'd done some, you know, renovation work, some texturing and painting of walls and such. And to Matt's surprise, in the middle of the lunchroom floor was placed in the tile a star with a circle around it. Now, kids, this is like a family center, and kids would be going in and out this church building. And there they would be stepping on this star. And I'm looking at the star, and it appears to have, well, all the signs of the satanic pentagram. Why would they paint this on the floor? Why would the pastor do that? Well, by the way, the pastor of that church also happens to be one of the FEMA-approved clergymen. FEMA, you know, the people who are running the concentration camp program in America, they're now enlisting pastors across America, you know, to help them to spy on people and so forth. Oh, yeah. The pastors are supposed to work for the government and be Big Brother, his eye in local churches. Absolutely amazing. Well, Matt, I'll be contacting you on this star and telling you my opinion on it. And I appreciate you sending that. You know, there's just a lot of wonderful people. Got a letter from a Navy veteran, Charles Wigan. He writes me periodically. Always love to hear from him from the great state of Georgia down south. He says, Dear Tex Mars, on Sunday morning, 19th August, he telephoned a lady friend and he said they read on the phone together Matthew chapters 23 and 24. And I think that's wonderful. If you have a friend and you can converse and talk about the Bible, you get together, you assemble in your own homes, sort of like a home church. Didn't Jesus say where two or three are gathered in my name? There am I in the midst thereof. Wow. A lot of people say, Tex, can you tell me of a good church to go to in my area? Well, one thing you can do is just get a couple of friends together, or more than a couple. And you can listen to my Bible home church lecture or sermon every week. And the nice thing about it is we broadcast it 24/7, 7 days a week. Right, Jerry? Just go to BibleHomeChurch.org and listen to this week's sermon. It's only 30 minutes long. We even have a little bit of music in it. Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to be singing. I don't want to ruin things for God's work, you know. But God does put a lot of things on my heart. And usually they're a series. And sometimes I'll have 7, 8, even 10 or 12 parts to a series, as well as a lovely song. So I invite you to BibleHomeChurch.org. Well, Brother Wiggins says that there he was on the telephone, and he and his lady friend were reading from Matthew chapter 23 and 24. And guess what? A few hours later, there I was on the radio mentioning the very same Bible passages. So he asked in Spanish, ¿Qué pasa? What's happening? Well, you know what's happening, Brother Charles Wiggins. Of course, that's the way God does things. I think sometimes he wants to reinforce things, double them up, stamp them. You know, make sure you get the message. And I know I'm that away sometime. You know, it can make believers out of you, though, can't it? I definitely believe in, what do they call that? Things are not by serendipity. Serendipity is by accident. There is no accident in God's kingdom. Ephesians 2, verse 10. God arranges the good works in advance that you and I are to do. Can you imagine that? You wake up in the morning, say, well, Lord, what do you got planned for me today? You know, Wanda keeps my schedule here. And we're sitting having breakfast. She says, you know, you got a talk show on this radio station a certain time. And yeah, you got to go in the office and write your newsletter. And you got to do this. And, you know, brother so-and-so called you from New York. You got to return his phone call. And she keeps my schedule. But God has the master schedule. Sometimes all those things go by the wayside. What's that old saying? Life is what happens while you're making other plans. I like that. Life is what happens while you're making other plans. Hey, folks, don't be like that pilot flying over the Pacific Ocean, 2,000 miles from shore, only had a few gallons of gasoline left. His navigation equipment went out. He got on the radio. He said, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm making good time. Well, you see, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you're not out there without navigation equipment. What you do is say, Lord, I'm out here and I need some direction. I need some leading. And sometimes God just takes the whole plane, turns it around, says, yeah, you were headed the wrong way, but I'm going to get you to where I want you to go. Might be a little island, might be a whole continent. But you're going to get there. Well, we've covered a few things today. I wish I had more time to be with you because there's just so many secrets, things going on in the world. Hey, I'll leave you with 1 John chapter 2. It asks, who is a liar? Did you know that God actually the Apostle John, inspired by God, said, God asked, who is a liar? And the answer came back. Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Antichrist. If you deny the Father and the Son, you don't have either one of them. Isn't that interesting? That's what John said. The Jews say, well, we have the Father, but we don't have the Son. No, they don't. If you don't have the Son, you have neither the Father nor the Son. And the reverse is true as well. Who is a liar? Who is the Antichrist? See, there are many antichrists. There will be one man come. Revelation 13 says, the man with the number 666. But there are many other fake antichrists out there. And they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh as God. This is Tex Morris. You've been with us today here on Power of Prophecy. And I'm so thankful for you. Please pray for us for our continuing success, continuing a message being broadcast around the world. Tune in each week, in fact, and discover the power of prophecy.